Hello again, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Are You Not Kentertained? This is episode 157, and today's date is April 9th. My name is Carrie, and I will be your host for the evening, and I'm joined by Kent tonight. How you doing, Kent?
I'm still sick. Still got the harlotitis.
Yikes. Yeah. That's awful.
Yeah.
And staying up until almost 1 in the morning Sunday night didn't help, did it? Watching Mania.
No, because you know what I did after that? I watched the G1 Supercard. So, no rest for the Kents at all.
Or the wicked. That's what the saying is. It's no rest for the wicked.
I was trying not to call myself wicked, but yeah. Well,
I'm just...
It is what it is. I get it, Carrie. I understand your severe undertones here.
Hey, I'm not saying anything was here or there. I'm just saying that's what the saying is. It's no rest for the wicked.
I've heard the song in Borderlands.
It's such a great song. All right. So for our first-time listeners, welcome to our show where we talk about all things wrestling. And in this special episode, Kent and I are going to break down Saturday night's G1 Supercard action. Starting off with the Honor Rumble. I know, Kent, you didn't get to see this, so I'll give our listeners just a brief overview. Pretty much, it was just everybody who didn't have a match on the card pretty much got thrown into the Honor Rumble, and they had some veterans and stuff like that. Great Muta showed up. It was one of Liger's, Jushin Thunder Liger's last matches. Let's see. Well, in fact, those were the final two.
The two old guys were the finals?
Huh?
The two old guys were the finalists?
Yes, the final two. Well, one of the final three, because nobody knew that Kenny King hadn't been eliminated yet. Apparently, he fake eliminated himself, came back in, eliminated the older veterans without even a chance to have those two wrestle each other, which is very disappointing, because it's Muta.
God, you know, I'm actually currently looking up who's older between Liger, Muta, and Taker. I'm really kind of curious what the answer is going to be here. Keep going, though.
All right, I'll continue to rant of how just of a travesty this was, because I really wanted to see this, but alas, Kenny King got the win. He's going to get, I believe, a future Ring of Honor title shot. So that's a good thing, I guess.
I mean, he's the most logical person, right, to get a chip. Like, I mean, realistically, it's not like Liger or Mood is going to tear the roof off with a match at this point.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I didn't expect them to win, but at least I wanted to see them interact.
All right, I have an answer to the question. Do you have if you had to guess between the three, who's oldest? Who would you take?
I'm gonna go with Muta.
Muda's 56, Taker and Liger are both 54, and I guess, let's see, Taker was born in March 24, and Liger was November 30th, so Taker's slightly older than Liger, so three old-ass men, all with great hair.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's move on to matches I know you did watch.
Wasn't there like a female something or other?
If there was, they didn't show it on New Japan World. Because I watched this on New Japan World. Because I paid ¥9.99 a month for that service. You know I'm going to watch it there and not pay ¥39.99 to watch it on Fight TV.
So how much does ¥9.99 come out to be in Americana dollars?
I believe around $9.10, which is actually cheaper than the WWE Network.
Wow, okay. That's pretty close conversion, it sounds like, at least.
But then you get, or at least my bank charges, like $1.25 international fee to send the money to Japan. So at the end of the day, it actually costs me more than the WWE Network.
Does WWE Network charge you any tax?
That's a question for Eric, not me. Eric pays that.
I don't know if they do, and I live in New York. They charge tax on everything. Yeah, I need to go on a minor gripe just for 30 seconds. I tried ordering a 3-inch knife from Amazon. They won't sell it to me because of New York. New York has stupid knife and blade laws. But I can order the freaking machete. You've seen the machete. It's over a foot long. I can get a machete. Sharp as hell. I cannot get a 3-inch little pocket knife that was like $7. Can't. How stupid is that?
That's kind of strange. I could see how that could be a little bothersome.
And rant.
All right. Let's talk Will Ospreay versus Jeff Cobb. For it was a Never Openweight Championship versus Ring of Honor World TV Championship match. Jeff Cobb picking up the win. I enjoyed this match. It was really, really good. For a guy his size, Jeff Cobb just, he's not supposed to move like that at that size, but he can. And, I mean, he gave Will Ospreay a good opponent. At the end of the day, Will Ospreay is so much more athletic and just amazing. And if you ever get a chance, seriously, check out his old matches with Ricochet. Because those are some pretty awesome, just, I mean, they're spot fest, but really, really good. Just watching them interact. With that said, I mean, I enjoyed it. I just take a line from you and Russ. I probably wouldn't watch it again, though. What were your thoughts, Kent?
I was not as high on this match as you were, and it's not Ospreay. Is it Ospreay? Is that how you pronounce it?
Ospreay.
Ospreay. It's not his fault. I don't blame him. He tried. I actually like watching him. I don't get Jeff Cobb. I've seen 3 matches now. Because I forgot that I watched a YouTube video and I watched whatever the one was, the Ring of Honor, whatever I watched, Final Battle. I watched that match with him and versus whoever. I don't remember.
Hangman Page.
Yeah, and I thought Hangman did a wonderful job, but I don't get the Cobb hype. Cobb hype. I gave this match a 2.7 because after all the hype, I don't get it. I just don't understand. I felt he held Will back, and maybe I just need to see more Jeff Cobb. I want to remind the listeners that I don't watch this stuff hardly at all, so this is very much a outsider's perspective. So he could be doing amazing things, but for this match alone, I didn't really enjoy it. I wouldn't watch it again. I expected more. I kind of expected it to be a rewatchable match, to be perfectly honest, so I was very disappointed. Sorry.
No, don't apologize. I mean, opinion. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I think we as wrestling fans forget that.
Does Will have like a Seth Rollins mentality in the ring? That's what I kind of have taken a little bit from him.
You mean a little bit reckless?
A little bit reckless. Kind of has like very pre-planned out stuff that he's held back on getting into the match.
Yeah. That in the superhero landing.
Okay, so. Alright. God, that would be a wet dream for Russ, then.
I don't think we should introduce Russ to him.
Nope.
We'll never see Russ again. Put him... Oh, wait, here we go. Him and Rollins in a match together.
Yeah. I mean, talk about a whitewashed wall. Horrible.
Yeah, Russ would be so tired after that.
As if he's not tired enough. Like, my understanding is he missed the first 2 hours of Raw of Mania. He missed the first hour plus of Raw last night. Like, the dude's just tired and sick as hell. Like, I think he's sicker than I am at the moment. So, yeah.
You poor guys. Ugh. Oh, and he missed seeing Seth win, the big one.
He caught up slowly but surely. So that was a real treat trying to talk to somebody, and I'm like, I don't know where you are in the car in the match, so I kind of had to wait till he was like, I've seen this, and then I'd be like, oh, blah 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 blah, and say something incoherently. Yeah.
Makes sense. Speaking of things that were incoherent, we have Dalton Castle versus Roosh, which I think was a 30-second match. It was almost as long as the Samoa Joe Rey Mysterio match. And I want to say not as good. Dalton Castle deserved better than this. That's all I have to say. What are your thoughts?
I gave it a 1. I have no shame in giving that match a 1 when it was the same 3 moves that are like... All right. You can understand the difference between this match and, say, Brock Lesnar was in a match and gave somebody 3 F5s. You could at least say the F5 is a devastating thing, or if Taker went into, you know, 3 tombstones, or Okada did 3 Rainmakers to kind of bring it back to this realm. What the fuck? Like, why did that... First of all, I didn't know that this move that I've always seen Finn do was called a shotgun dropkick, and now that I've heard it a million times thanks to this particular event, I don't ever want to hear that again. But that's a gripe for much later. This match served zero purpose other than, like, Dalton attacked the boys. Like,
that's... That was more tragic than the actual match itself. Dalton loves his boys.
Yeah. I don't know. That match made me sad and actually made me... I almost kind of quit. I'll be honest. I was almost like, well, I don't care anymore. But I continued on. But it really pissed me off, to be honest. I wanted to see what Roosh was all about.
That did not show it. That did not show it at all. I blame Ring of Honor booking for that. That was just poorly executed.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a big fan of Dalton, so for one of the few people I was excited to see on this card of people that I don't know, that I think that actually probably bothered me the most was, like, you know, it was something that I was actually looking forward to and just didn't deliver. But whatever, it is what it is.
But it really set the tone for, like, the next half of the next 3 or 4 matches.
But there is a perk before we get to the next match. Juice Robinson got laid out backstage, and because I gave the Dalton match a 1, I gave the laying out backstage a 9.2 because we all know my disdain for that particular gentleman.
Well, I think you and New Japan's booking pretty much agree, because since they have the U.S. title on him and he hasn't defended it, and he dropped it to, when he first held it, he dropped it to Cody at the next pay-per-view, and then won it back from Cody when Cody was leaving Ring of Honor in New Japan.
Good stuff.
I mean, we're talking about the same guy who held the U.S. championship during last year's G1 and went on a huge losing streak. I mean, the G1 climax is basically the most prestigious tournament in New Japan. It may possibly all of wrestling, because it's so just grueling. So to see him just go on a huge losing streak where he was almost near the final days and he finally got his first win, but he's a title holder in the promotion, kind of sad.
That speaks volumes for volumes of books.
Yep. And with that, let's talk the Women of Honor World Championship match. We had Mayu Iwatani versus Kelly Klein. I'm happy that Kelly Klein won. I don't know. This match, I don't know if it was hangover from the disappointing Dalton Castle match or what, but this was just meh to me. I think that's the best way to describe it. What were your thoughts?
This was another match I was looking forward to because I've only seen Kelly Klein once, and I really was impressed with her. Once again, very impressed with her. Actually, before I go in anymore, what's up with, like, the 4 people that come out with her? It's like,
New. I have no idea what that was. I've never seen that before. I don't know if it was just a G1 thing for this main show in Madison Square Garden or what, but...
I was wondering if it was, like, trying to, like, be, like, a UFC posse. Like, I don't know if you've ever watched UFC, but, like, they all come out with
posses.
Mayu did nothing for me. I don't understand... I don't know if this was just a bad match for her or what, but... I've never seen her before, and I don't care to ever see her again. Like, she didn't do much. Kelly clearly carried that match. I feel like Kelly's in slightly worse physical condition. Like, I don't know if she's not been hitting the gym or something, but she looks worse than she did the last time I saw her. Like, I'm not trying to be a dick. She just didn't look as fit as she did.
No, I noticed that as well. I don't know if it was the outfit or what, but... I hate to say this because I don't want to be that girl, but if you're gonna wear like a sports bra type top, make sure you have a slightly toned tummy and you're not hanging over your bottoms. That this just for especially if you're gonna be on TV and the caliber of the caliber show this was and where this was and how important it was to the promotion. And that was a thing I noticed about a lot of the people in this show. It's like, this is Madison Square Garden. This is, for your promotion, this is as big as it's going to get. You should have put yourself out there. I mean, people start in, like, December in WWE getting ready for WrestleMania. Like, getting their bodies ready. Getting, you know, their eating right. Going to the gym more than they usually do.
I'm glad you said it because I was wondering if, like, everybody was just in normal, this type of shape. It's a fair criticism. I don't care if it's male or female because the men also had, like, dad bods going on and shit. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is a profession where people will judge you on your body. And it's a fair criticism because part of your job is to have a particular body. I mean, I think Kelly had a great ass. So, I mean, whatever was happening in the front and the back was wonderful. But, I don't know, it was something I noted. And I noted it throughout the night because everything else was men, by and large. I don't like the name K-Power for the... Attitude adjustment, whatever the hell. I don't know what the technical term for that move is, because John Cena's fucking warped my fragile little mind here. Is Fireman's Carry Slam? I guess.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Let's get us out of the realm of Cena.
Yeah, I don't know. I just K-Power. Whatever. Yeah, I gave it a 3.5. Don't want it. I wouldn't see it again.
I think that's generous for what I saw.
I really like Kelly. I legitimately think if somebody could mentor her that knew what they were doing, I think she could absolutely be a star. As much as I'm pro WWE, I think she would really shine in TNA. TNA does really good with their women, and I'd love to see her in there, like with Sienna especially. But Sienna's no longer there. But speaking of TNA, people, there's an aftermatch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Allure debuted. Enlighten me on who these two women are. I'm not very familiar with Velvet Sky and Angelina Love. I've seen them, but I'm not very familiar where I can actually speak educatedly about them.
All right, I watched almost their entire initial run in TNA. Before there was Michelle McCool and Layla doing... I can't remember what the hell they're... Lay Cool.
Lay Cool.
Angelina actually was at least average looking. She looks horrible now with the work on her face, in my opinion. She hasn't looked good in a while. Velvet's still very attractive. I don't know if she's still with Bubba. I hope so. And they just played the Mean Girls. Like, they were the original Mean Girls before... Like, they really nailed the Mean Girls angle, and they did so much stuff, and Madison Rayne joined them, and it was a great three-woman stable. It was a time when WWE was doing everything wrong with women, and TNA took these girls and made them the faces of the heel side, and it worked wonders. And that was 10-plus years ago? Angelina has not aged well. Like I said, I think she's had some kind of plastic surgery, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to be mean about it. Like, there's a change in her face. And Velvet still looks the same, but Velvet was never that great in-ring. Last I saw Angelina, she was involved with... she's the wife of one of the guys that's no longer there, but the other guy is still there, and I can't think of his... Eddie Edwards and... Davey Edwards? Something like that. Davey Richards.
Yeah.
Eddie Edwards, like, they had this falling out, and there was a storyline with the wives involved. Angelina didn't look good back then. So, anyway, they have this Mean Girl stable. That's clearly what they're trying to recreate. And it didn't work. I mean, I don't know who this... What was her name? Mandy?
Mandy Leon. She's a good fit for it. I've never actually seen her as a heel, but then again, the way Ring of Honor books their Women of Honor roster, you don't really get to get too familiar with them. Even on the cruise, because they had some women's matches on the cruise, you really didn't get to get that familiar, which is a problem. But now that you mentioned that, I did read an article, though, or I saw something on Reddit about how Madison Rayne actually, I think, tried to propose the idea of bringing back Angelina and Velvet. And basically, Ring of Honor didn't want to do it. Now all of a sudden, Madison's back in TNA, and here we go.
That was the first thing I thought. I'm like, why did you let Madison go if you're going to do this stable? Like... What purpose, what overlying purpose was there? This Mandy girl, her timing was horrible. That whole setup was the single most predictable thing of the whole night. Like, I'm sitting there like, okay, so you got the two mean girls on one side, the girl that got screwed over, and then this hot chick just came in. What's going to happen next? And she took for freaking ever. I don't have any faith in this Mandy girl. I hope she's good in ring, because that was not... That was a horrible segment.
Not so much. I mean, really, when you... The Women of Honor roster is lacking in talent. Like, the two people, well, three actually, that have held the title are pretty much all they got in terms of talent. I mean, a lot of those girls, yes, they're developing it. They're still, like, green and stuff like that. I mean, when Brandy was on the roster, that was one of her things. She was still very green and still learning. I mean, she's doing... From what I've seen, she's improving a lot, and I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when she has her first AEW match. I think she's learning from people that probably work with Cody, and... I think people are going to be impressed with her next time they see her in the ring.
I hope she does better than Cody. they need their Finley. Ring of Honor needs to find a guy that will just sit there and work with the women. That's what WWE needed. They did it, and it took years. But you know, you're starting to see the fruits of the labor at long last, or the past, I don't know, I would say past 5 years even. You're starting to really see it build up. Ring of Honor needs to have a long term. They can't just instantly fix it. But yeah, they need to really say, we're going to stick to this and put work into it, because right now it doesn't, I don't know, it feels so incredibly lackluster. It kind of sucks.
It's really an afterthought. Mm-hmm. And with that, I think we should just move on. Because Ring of Honor pretty much already has.
Yeah.
Next up, we had the Street Fight Open Challenge. Bully Ray. This whole match involved Bully Ray, Silas Young, Shane Taylor, Flip Gordon came out, who I was under the impression was injured for the next 4 to 6 months and wasn't supposed to be back. He comes out of basically nowhere. And Juice and Mark Haskins came out. This match, there was a lot going on to the point where I didn't even remember who won the match until you told me just a little while ago. It did not hold my interest. I would say this was my match that I would give a 1. Like, Dalton and Roosh were, like, a 1.5 because the aftermath, it was actually quite interesting to see Dalton, like, turn that switch. But this match, I just couldn't get into it. And I think it just stems for this is not my thing. Your thoughts?
And this is, of course, where our philosophical differences always cross paths. Like, for me, this, for my rating, I wrote 4.9 as it held my attention all the way through. This is, as the white bitches would say, this is my jam. Yeah, I liked it. I didn't give it over a 5 because I wouldn't rewatch it, but it was something that I needed because the first 3 matches were so bad. I can get behind Bully Ray doing anything because at least he's pissing people off, and believe it or not, there's something about that that's very endearing to me. I don't know if I've ever seen Silas Young before. If I had, I didn't pay attention to him. I liked what he did here, and I really liked Haskins. I'm not sure about Shane Taylor. Dude has a really unique body. I don't know how to describe it. I think I could get behind him. I want to see more of all 3 guys that I just mentioned. If I don't ever see Juice Robinson ever again. Okay. Flip Gordon, I've seen him twice now. I see potential there. I'm not into him yet. Let's say the jury's still out. I can understand why people would either like it or hate it, because it was for a very specific set of tastes. It existed. Moving on.
Pretty much. I mean, really, it was the show, and I'll kind of sum this up. And when we talk overall, our overall opinions of the show, it was kind of a tale of two shows. Like,
incredibly,
you had
incredibly great, yeah.
Like, you had Ring of Honor, and then you had New Japan. So, and I'll get in more of that in a little while. I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's talk the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match. We had Taiji Ishimori versus Dragon Lee versus Bandido. Dragon Lee picking up the win and the title. This match was a nice comeback for me. I mean, you like kind of like the Bully Ray match and stuff like that. I like the athletic contests. That's what I enjoy, probably, which is why I like New Japan so much. This was a really good showcase of some of the junior heavyweights within the New Japan, CMLL, and New Ring of Honor brands. As for Dragon Lee picking up the win, I was, to be honest with you, given the person who's supposed to be returning some point very soon, this title change makes sense to me. Because Hiromu Takahashi is supposedly healthy. Don't know if he's medically clear yet from his neck injury, but he should be coming back soon. So I have a feeling if he does, this is going to be a feud for the title.
So you're telling me a Japanese wrestler had a neck injury? I am shocked by that.
Yeah. It happened, I want to say, back in June of last year, to the point where the initial reports were that his neck was broken. And there was speculation he was never going to wrestle again.
I'm not surprised. And for anybody that goes to 9deuce.com/blog/ and reads this, you will completely understand that this is not at all surprising to me as I'm watching this stuff and kind of cringing way more than I cringed during a horror movie. I will say this. I was shocked that I predicted Dragon Lee on last week's podcast. I kind of forgot about it, and I had to look it up, and I was like, ooh, I picked the winner. I was very, very happy about that. This was good. I wouldn't rewatch it, but I gave it a 4.5. I did like it. I didn't... Oh, am I wrong in saying that the ending seemed a little out of, I don't know, it just kind of happened. Rather, I don't know, I didn't feel like a build-up to it. I think it just, some moves happened and it happened, rather than, the overarching thing wasn't there for me, I guess.
Yeah, I would say that's kind of fair. Yeah. It seemed kind of random. I just didn't see Dragon Lee winning this, but I do understand it if, and with New Japan, it's always about the long-term booking. Like, I have a feeling a lot of the storylines that are out there are planned out for, like, years.
I have to say this. That Bandido's double fallaway slam from the top rope was one of the coolest things I saw all show. And what I liked about it was that it wasn't a dangerous spot. That's usually my issue. I feel a lot of spots are very dangerous. You know, that's not a very dangerous spot. I mean, it's going to hurt a little bit, but I mean, it's not career-ending by and large or anything like that. And I thought it looked really good. So I liked it. I'd like to see more of these guys. Honestly, this was... The show started picking up for me here.
Hmm. Well, if you are interested, Best of Super Juniors starts next month. It's basically the junior heavyweight version of the G1 Climax tournament.
There are so many divisions.
There's so many belts in New Japan, it's quite ridiculous.
Yeah, I've never understood. WWE gets shit for all their belts, and New Japan has like 30 of them. I'm like, that's not fair, okay? Like, there's too many belts all around here. It's an epidemic.
So many belts, in fact, that not all of them were defended on this show.
Good lord.
Fair enough. Well, you have the Never titles. You have
what the fuck is that? What?
It's an open weight title. So basically, let's say you have a heavyweight and a junior heavyweight. They can face each other for this title.
What's a junior heavyweight? Is it like a junior bacon cheeseburger at Wendy's where it's just a little
It's what
smaller?
You would consider a cruiserweight. So somebody who's under 205.
Just don't use the word heavyweight. Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, just call it a different, just get rid of the word heavy and it would make so much more sense to anybody. Like, boxing wouldn't be that dumb. MMA is not that dumb. Like, Japan, just rethink, get rid of the word heavy and do middle or light or something different. I don't know. That baffles me a little bit. And now I want a junior bacon cheeseburger.
Me too. Speaking of things that were baffling, let's talk about the next match. We had the winner-take-all IWGP World Heavyweight Tag Team Championship and Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match with Evil and Sonata versus Guerrillas of Destiny versus Villain Enterprises versus the Briscoes. Guerrillas of Destiny picked up the win. I enjoyed this match. This is where I started to get back into the show. Or so I thought. But we'll talk about the ending of this match in a few seconds. I have to say, I love the Briscoes. They're my favorite tag team. They will always be my favorite tag team. And I still someday want to see them versus the Usos because I think that would be an amazing contest. With that said, I'm excited for Guerrillas of Destiny's win. I like those guys. I've always liked those two guys. So I'm good with this match. So, Kent, what are your thoughts on the match? And then we'll talk about what happened afterwards.
All right. I walked away not... I felt that Guerrillas of Destiny, they intrigued me, but I felt they had the least impactful showing. Which is actually normal in these types of matches. The winner usually has the least, like, they give the better spots to the losing teams. Like, that's wrestling tradition. I did want to see more from Guerrillas of Destiny just because I haven't seen them before. But I loved everything. I thought this was actually going to be my favorite match of the night. But there was one that I liked better. Had no idea who the hell PCO was until I looked him up. I'm like, what the fuck's going on with this guy and being all hyped up and his entrance? I was into it. I just didn't understand it. And I was like, oh, he was a Mountie. He had a great song back in the day. And I was like, all right. Now I'm really even more conflicted. It's rare that I like 8 particular people all in the same match. Although, wait, in all fairness, I don't like his partner. I don't really get, was it Brody King? Was his name, right? He was the least impactful guy for me. Sonata, love his hair game. Oh, I just really liked this. This was a fun match. It had gone another 5 minutes. Would have had no complaints from me. I gave it a 6.7 only because I wanted more.
All right, should we talk about the ending? Or what happened after the Guerrillas of Destiny 1?
Yeah, let's talk about what happened and how it was perceived on TV, because I think that's another tale of two kitties.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, listeners, for those of you who aren't aware, Enzo and Cass made an appearance after this match. Jumped the barricade, got beaten up by the Briscoes. Bully Ray came out and started beating him down. But none of this was shown on camera. In fact, the commentators and everything, they were kind of like just burying the whole situation. And then it comes out later that this may have actually been planned, and these two may actually be working with Ring of Honor in the future. At least that's the rumor. And I tell you, if this is true, I may be done with Ring of Honor. I can't. I mean, after this show, I really am questioning why I like this promotion, and if I actually want to spend money on tickets for Best in the World when they come back to Baltimore in June. Your thoughts, Kent?
As you know, I'm a big fan and advocate of Enzo, as far as I think you can build something around him as a character, as a talent, as a human being. You can't invest a single cent into this human being. I just don't think he... Even if he's not a bad guy, he's an irritant to everybody, apparently. Nobody really has glowing things to say about him as a human being. And if you can't... If you're not going to be liked back... Like, it just doesn't make sense to invest in somebody that, you know... Like, he can be worth $1 million, but if his attitude's not right, it's not right. Big Cass is worthless. Big Cass is... I made fun of Big Cass quite a bit in the blog. And deservingly so. I don't think Ring of Honor is the company that can make change anything as far as Enzo and Cass go. Bad move. Horrible presentation, because you could tell the announcers kind of want to talk about it, but then they're like, well, we're not going to show it, so we kind of got to bury it. But they still kind of trying to draw attention. It was the one time in the night that I felt bad for the announce team. I know, because as long as it was quote unquote planned, it felt like really poor timing after the Hall of Fame situation, like what, less than an hour earlier with the Bret Hart attack. It just, I get it. You're not going to change things, but it just felt like poor taste at that moment. And if you're not going to show it on camera, just wait for your TV taping. In all honesty, I feel that would be appropriate. If you're not going to make a big deal of it on the show and the Bret Hart thing happen, just say we're moving it to the next taping. Wouldn't that make sense?
I mean, they had time after the incident with Bret Hart to make that change. There enough time had elapsed between the since that event occurred. I mean, really, it was just they didn't want to show it because they knew people would already were starting to hear about the Bret Hart incident. So, it was just stupid. They should have waited until this weekend. They have TV tapings this weekend. They should have done it. Then I agree. It was pointless. It was stupid. It really, the thing that made me mad, and if you get a chance, check out the post-match interview that both Tonga Loa and Tama Tonga did, the Guerrillas of Destiny did, where basically they just bury Ring of Honor, which, and I don't blame them for this. That was their moment that got stolen. They had just won two titles from two different companies in one of the biggest and most important arenas in wrestling. That should have been their moment, not Enzo and Cass's moment or Ring of Honor's moment. That was their moment, and it got stolen, and I feel so bad for those guys.
It would have been a little bit more okay had it been an angle that was involving them too. But they just had to stand in the ring and, like, kind of smile, and they're like, oh, this is shitty. Like, you could see the expression on their face, like, this is stupid. Because it didn't involve them. If you're going to do it, there's so many better ways. This was WWE depths of bad booking. I mean, this is something WWE really would have done. Like, that's... I'm not happy with that, so...
No. Let's move on. Yeah. I think we've spent enough time talking about Enzo and Cass. We should pay them no more attention. Kind of like the commentators were telling us to do so. Next up, we had the RevPro British Heavyweight Championship between Zack Sabre Jr. and Hiroshi Tanahashi. This was a decent match. I really enjoyed it. Zack Sabre Jr. picking up the win. I had no problems with this. All in all, I think I don't really have much else to say other than that. How about you, Kent?
You know, I'm a big Zack Sabre Jr. guy. So, I don't know. I only knew Tanahashi from name. I understand he is, or at least used to be, a very big thing. I don't know. He didn't really get a lot of opportunity to exhibit stuff, though. That was the one flaw of the match. I think it was very Zach dominated. I would have liked to have seen more from Tanahashi. Still, I'd watch this again. I gave it a 5.5. It's what I expected, I guess. There wasn't much delineation from that.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, Tanahashi basically brought New Japan back from basically obscurity. I mean, there's a reason why they call him the ace. There's also the other name that they like to use for him, which is Japanese John Cena. Because really, if you're a talent in New Japan, you have to go through Tanahashi.
Gotcha. Okay. He was another guy that was not sporting the best bod, right?
He's usually in decent shape. I mean, New Japan guys are all very athletic, very well in shape, which we'll get to in the next match when we talk about Ibushi. Yeah. But usually those guys are in good shape. That's one thing you also notice. As we said, it's the tale of two kitties. Ring of Honor guys, not so much in shape, didn't literally look good. New Japan guys, they take pride in their physiques.
And they're all the same size.
Yes.
And that is something. It took me a while to really pick up on it. I was like, this is an issue for me. It is. I'd like to see more diversity in New Japan.
Well, I mean, you can't expect much when the tallest guy in the roster is, well, Okada.
Yeah, I get it. Like, I made two observations. The lack of diversity, and am I wrong in saying that if you're going to make a name for yourself in New Japan, you have to change your hair color? Like, where's the black hair, guys?
That is an excellent question. I think it's very, anime-focused.
Yeah, which... Yeah.
Yeah, I knew you're feeling that. All right, so let's move on to the IWGP Intercontinental Championship match. We had Tetsuya Naito versus Kota Ibushi. Kota Ibushi picking up the win. This was my match of the night. This is what I expected, and I've seen these two wrestle before. I saw these two wrestle in an amazing match during the G1 last year. This, actually, I feel, was better than that match, and that was a damn good match. So, I enjoyed this. So excited for Kota. I was just happy. I was happy with this. How about you, Kent?
I came in not liking either guy. Naito's improved since I saw his match with Jericho. Ibushi, I've probably seen him once before. I walked away actually a fan of Ibushi. I made an observation that I didn't know that there was such thing as a 20 count, and that's stupid. I'm just going to say that right now. Like, the most boring part of a match is when you have to listen to the count out for a 10 count, and now you're doubling it. I'm like, no, stop. That that just upset me, and people are probably like, stupid fucking American. Whatever, fuck you. You know, okay? But I felt that the first half of the match could have been better. Once they got going, it was fine. Couple of dangerous spots. Really didn't... I thought the hammerlock suplex was a little dangerous, and that German suplex that Ibushi does when he's standing on... I don't like it, man. Like, you know where I stand on. I believe in safety of wrestlers so that they can have a longer longevity. That's all. Like, it's cool to see, but as we learned from the Attitude Era, what's cool to see leads to lots of early deaths. The trade-off's really not there. It's not worth it. I gave it a 4.5. I wasn't into as much as you were. I think you knew that going into that I wouldn't be. I liked it. It just, I thought the first half was not nearly as good as the second half. And it was, what, 20-minute match, approximately?
Which, is, for those two, is a short match.
Believe me, when I saw that there was two and a half hours I think it was 2 hours remaining for three matches, I'm like, oh my god. Yeah. In the blog, by the way, this is the point, I had taken a break, I come back, I'm like, fuck it. I didn't even do, like, summary, I just did, like, stream of thought, so, like, everything's, like, five fucking paragraphs moving forward, because I'm like, oh, I'm thinking that, I'm typing it, and yeah. My blog gets very random. Just gonna say that. For better and worse. A lot of worse.
And people should check out that blog at 9deuce.com/blogs. /.
Yeah. Do we have say back anymore? Or is everybody?
I think people pretty much know at this point. Or at least I hope they do. The internet's been a thing for at least a couple decades now.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you can no longer ever have to say www dots, for instance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Some people still do, though, and that bothers me. It's like, we know. The internet's been a thing for, you know, almost, what, 3/4 of our lives?
Yeah. It's been around. We get it. But, oh, I'm excited for the next match.
All right, let's move on to it then. Let's talk about the first half of the co-main events. We have the Ring of Honor World Championship ladder match. Jay Lethal versus Matt Taven versus Marty Scurll. Matt Taven is your new Ring of Honor World Champion. I enjoyed this match. Some of the spots were just scary for me. I mean, there were a couple of times where I was like, that's a broken rib there. He may have a broken back. Jay Lethal at the very end. It was a scary match in places. And in some places, I was just like, okay. But end result makes perfect sense. It's Matt Taven's time. It really is. It should have been a long time ago. I'm good with this result. I mean, I am slowly becoming a Matt Taven fan. So, as I said, I'm good with it. Not everybody is. The internet is very upset. But as Sami Zayn said last night on Raw, the fans are awful. Or fickle, as Daniel Bryan would like to say. What were your thoughts on this match, Kent?
I came in not liking Matt Taven. I love Jay Lethal. I had to safely assume he was dropping the belt to one of these two guys. I came in as a Marty Scurll fan. I can't stand Marty's hair. There was a couple things I wasn't digging on Marty, and then I would dig on Taven, and then I went back and forth. Seriously, this is the best part of the whole blog. That if you just read one part of the blog, read my review for this, because I go back and forth between my love and Taven and Scurll, and I'm conflicted. And really, Taven officially won me over when I noticed he was wearing purple and unleashed the purple ladder. My God, was I in love at that moment. That fan that got hit by that ladder. Oh my.
Oh, the guy in the pink sweatshirt?
Yeah!
He sat in the exact same spot at All In, and everybody was creeped out by him at All In.
Oh my. I was like, I knew he couldn't have been seriously hurt or else I would have heard about it online, but I was like, watching it when I saw it, I was like, it really did make my jaw drop just a little bit, I'm not gonna lie. Another really good thing, this was clearly my favorite match, not only for the action, but I don't want to call him Nick Aldis. I'm going to call him Magnus because that's what I know him by. I'm sorry for the Nick Aldis people. He was the best person on commentary the whole night. And he only got to call this one match, but his commentary really added a whole other layer to this match that made it better. Sometimes, believe it or not, fans, commentary can make a match better. Most of the time, it doesn't. But sometimes you get that rare treat, and this was a rare treat. I liked everything. Yeah, there were some cringeworthy spots. This was a match that I was naturally going to like. So I gave it a 7.3. It was my highest rated. I kind of feel bad. I probably would go back and maybe even rate it higher. That's how much I liked it. Oh, and Skrull does a fucking chicken wing?
Yep.
That's my favorite submission hold of all time, thanks to Bob Backlund. So, yeah, once again. Yeah, I really went back and forth.
And last but not least, we have the IWGP Heavyweight Championship match, Jay White versus Kazuchika Okada. I finally said his name right. Oh my god, I didn't stutter through it like I usually do. I'm so proud. All right.
Something really quickly. I forgot. The crowd went apeshit for so many spots. The crowd did not go apeshit for Jay Lethal's Macho Man drop, elbow drop. I found that very weird for a crowd that was dying to just say holy shit or this is awesome or whatever chant. You finally get like a really, like that was a really good spot and they didn't get the crowd reaction. I was going to ask you, do you think the crowd was dying?
I don't know what happened there. At that point, I think everybody was starting to get, I was starting to get tired. In fact, okay. And during this match, I was starting to doze.
Gotcha.
And I had no idea how I was going to get to the next match, which I wanted to see because I'm a big Okada fan.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, I love his matches with Omega. I think they're some of the greatest wrestling you'll ever see. But let's talk about his match with Jay White right now. Okada is the new IWGP Heavyweight Champion. I'm not surprised by this result at all. Really, it was, in terms of long-term storytelling, this was kind of coming. I mean, Jay White had an answer for Okada in the G1. He had an answer for him at Wrestle Kingdom. This was kind of inevitable that Okada was going to regain the title. The match itself was a typical New Japan match. For me, it was enjoyable. It gave me everything I wanted. I'm actually sick of the Rainmaker, but then again, I love Okada. I'm very conflicted here. What are your thoughts, Kent?
I didn't like this. I did fast forward through some of the early stuff. Just, you know, if I saw that somebody had been knocked down, I'd rewind just to see if it was a big move. But there was a lot of stuff where it was just like, all right, they punched, they clotheslined, they dropkicked, whatever. You know, it was stuff that you could fast forward through, especially when you're just drained. It wasn't even so much these guys. The announcers were the worst human beings there. They ruined this match for me. Please, there's no need for screaming. When Mankind gets thrown off the top of Hell in a Cell, okay, you can scream. When Mankind gets speared through a flaming table by Edge, you can scream. There's no need for screaming fucking Rainmaker as loud as you can. It's kind of a turnoff to me. I had to mute the commentary eventually. Who's the screamer on the announce team? It wasn't Kelly and it wasn't Cole. It was the other guy, right?
Had to be Ian Rakamani. I don't like him at all.
Fire him.
Like, out of all the commentators that were on that table, he is the worst. I mean, Colt's decent. Kevin Kelly's really good. Like, I love listening to him call. Him, Rocky Romero and Chris Carlton, which is the other guy that was at the table, they did last year's G1, and it was amazing commentary all the way throughout. You put it in the Ring of Honor, guys, which we'll get to when we talk the overall thing. It just, it changes the dynamic, and I agree with you. A lot of the commentary, I was just like, I'm used to Ring of Honor commentary, so it really didn't bother me as much. But to somebody who's just fresh into it, you're going to be like, these guys have no idea how to call a match. And
none.
You would be right.
There was no fucking flow. You said Chris, is he the black dude, right?
No, that was, that would be Caprice Coleman.
I liked him a lot. I like his voice.
He's
didn't
good,
get to
yeah.
talk much, but when he did talk, I liked him. It was just that one guy, but that one guy ruined this match for me, and I probably would have given this match a higher. I actually probably would have watched more of this match, but he drained me, and honestly, there's wrestling fatigue going on. It was a storm. I just didn't enjoy this match for a variety of reasons. I think Okada's overrated because I think the Rainmakers... God damn it. It reminds me so much of, like, Austin and Rock. Two guys that had the dumbest finishers that were so overrated. And it's like, really? The Rock Bottom? That's the badass finisher? The Stunner? I mean, it wasn't, like, at least the Diamond Cutter RKO. That's... The Stunner is really not that devastating. And that's how... Same with the AA. I've never understood why the biggest legends, Hogan's leg drop, the biggest of the bigs, always has the lamest finishers. And the Rainmaker, it's a short arm clothesline. Jake the Snake did that as a setup move for his DDT. Nowadays, the DDT is just the secondary. It's thrown away like a freaking super kick. But... God damn it, there's a short arm clothesline. Let's fucking oversell the shit out of him. Like, I think Okada's better than this. I'm pretty sure he's better than this. I didn't like this. I want to see more Okada not doing what that was. And without that commentary team, I think I could possibly like Okada more. This I didn't like. Jay White also, he did nothing for me. Gato was the MVP, and I don't even know who the fuck Gato is, but he was the MVP for me of this match. One last thing. That commentator was worse than Don West, and I don't think I said that about people in the past. Yeah, that was Don West level of awful.
I don't even know who that is, but I'm glad I don't.
You could probably like find like a worst of Don West on YouTube or something, and it... You would probably get a laugh and then stop it really fast.
So, overall, what were your thoughts on the show?
You said in the beginning, it's a tale of two very different shows. The interesting thing, though, is that it's so true in the fact that even looking at our opinions and stuff, the only match we really, really agreed on was the match that really kind of had split between the two rosters, which... makes a lot of sense. I was more into the Ring of Honor matches. I mean, my favorites by and large were the Ring of Honor. But some of the New Japan guys actually, I walked away saying I want to give them another chance under different circumstances, perhaps. Honestly, this was, out of the three main shows, this was the third. Third place for me, and it wasn't even close, and I didn't think I would say that, but in all fairness, WWE probably had the best weekend they've had in over a decade. I legitimately think that's a fair thing to say. They never get praise, because they don't do things right. They did things right. This wasn't bad. This was an average show to me, though. It wasn't as great as the hype came in for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of my thing. My expectations were very high for this show to begin with, given where it was, what it meant for both companies. I have to say, the New Japan matches, they delivered, but they always deliver, regardless of what building they're in. Ring of Honor is like, we got this show at Madison Square Garden, but we're going to show you what we do at a normal TV taping. Which... it's great because nobody actually watches Ring of Honor TV. But if you're going to have a show in Madison Square Garden on WrestleMania weekend, you should be bringing your A-game. And no one, except for the guys in the ladder match, brought their A-game. I am nervous for Ring of Honor after this weekend. Especially once AEW starts up.
Yeah, I already put AEW ahead of Ring of Honor at this point. This was a terror. As much as I preferred the Ring of Honor stuff, I also acknowledge it wasn't their best effort by far. I've seen them do better things.
But the last show you watched of theirs, the Elite was involved. So yeah, you had Hangman, you had Cody, you had the Young Bucks.
Three out of those four people held me back, though, on that. The only person that did good for me was Hangman. Young Bucks just super kicked a lot, and Cody's match was... I didn't like the Cody versus Jay Lethal match. It was not his best effort by far.
But I have a feeling when they booked the show, they were banking on those guys being there.
Yeah,
that's the reason that arena sold out.
Yeah.
They're the reason the... Not the other guys that were on this. I mean, yeah, to see Kota, to see Naito, to see Okada. Yeah, yeah, that's why a lot of the people, you know, see Tanahashi. To see the guys in Japan that usually, unless you go to Japan, you're not going to see them wrestle. So that was one of the draws, but the other draw was the Elite. And after this weekend, I think New Japan, my suggestion is New Japan takes a long, hard look at their relationship with Ring of Honor. There's the style of the two companies does not mesh anymore, in my opinion.
I totally agree. I'd like to see New Japan TNA, see what they can do, but I think it would probably end up the same way, but be different. I would like to see it at some point. I think Ring of Honor and TNA actually probably match up closest, but this just didn't... For what this was supposed to be, for the hype, or what everything was... It felt so weird. I don't know. Like I said, I gave it a try. I mean, you know I don't normally watch this stuff. I gave it a try.
Definitely.
And it's not that I sit here and say, I wasted all this time. There was a lot of time, though, that was wasted, and there was some good stuff. So, hit and miss, man.
That was pretty much how I felt about the whole show when I watched it live. Well, my expectations were high. The first match, I was like, okay, yeah, this is a good start. And then it seemed like everything else up to, I would say, the Junior Heavyweight Championship. I was like, are you kidding me? Really? I need my life back. I'm like, can I watch TakeOver again? Because I would say show to the weekend.
I made a point someplace in one of the reviews. I think it was the TakeOver one. TakeOver was the best show of the weekend. WrestleMania was the best showing of the weekend. In the fact that somehow of 7.5 hours, they actually made... It was as good as they were going to do for 7.5 hours, which was incredibly draining. They put on a lot of good matches for the TV audience. Not so much the people in the audience who were blinded, but... Have you seen those pictures, by the way?
Oh my gosh, I would want my money back.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
That was horrible, but yeah.
And it happened all weekend. Like, it didn't just happen at WrestleMania, it happened last night at Raw, too.
I'm curious if they fix it tonight.
Probably not.
Honestly, like, last night, I just want to say this. I was so disappointed. I didn't get, like, any messages until, like, 10 o'clock from Russ. I'm like, normally, I thought, like, this would be, like, a talkative thing and people would be messaging me. Dead quiet. I was like, oh. I choose to finally watch a Raw live, which I hate doing. Normally, I watch it delayed, but I was like, no, I gotta watch it live because some asshole's gonna ruin something for me. No, I could have just watched it and delayed.
It was a typical Raw. It wasn't the Raw after WrestleMania.
The reality is the call-ups. We knew it coming in, though. Like, it wasn't a surprise that there was a lack of surprises.
Yeah,
tonight,
fair enough.
It's going to be similar, and that's fine. God. I look forward to tomorrow, because tomorrow we're going to do NXT, which was a really good show, and then we got to do Mania, which... Is it fair to say that I expected this Wednesday that we'd have at least 4 to 5 matches that we could just all agree existed and move on and make a shorter show, and they didn't quite give us that?
No, they didn't. There's a lot to unpackage this week.
Yeah.
So. Good on them, though. I mean...
I'm very happy. It's one of the few times I can be like, yay, I'm proud to be a WWE fan until they shit all over something very soon. Like, the inevitable is coming, but for one night, I was like, good on you guys. So,
yeah, this weekend made me question everything I know. I'm questioning myself now, and I'm very upset about it.
What are the next big shows for either of these two companies, I guess?
Ring of Honor, they got some TV tapings this coming weekend. New Japan, I believe, Wrestling Dontaku's coming up in May, and they're doing a bunch of like house road 2 shows, which people who have New Japan World can check those out. Yeah, so that's pretty much what's going on there.
Are you glad that after tonight we're finally? I mean, yes, next week we have the superstar shakeup, but like we get rest period. Like, I need it. I need
a break. I'm there. Yeah. I am so there. All right, listeners, there you have it. Those are our thoughts on the G1 Supercard. Kent, anything else before we say goodnight?
Tomorrow we're doing an episode 158, which would be the NXT TakeOver. And then right after that, we're going to do 159 for WrestleMania. Yep. So, and then we get free. Like, we are going to be, like, Abraham Lincoln will have freed our asses from wrestling for a little bit, thankfully. Looking forward to it, so.
Yep. A brief hiatus, listeners, but we'll be back before you know it.
Yeah. This was fun, though. I'm glad that we did this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, listeners. So from Kent and myself, we wish you a good night. And, well, we'll talk to you later. Because we got NXT TakeOver and WrestleMania to still cover for you. Good night, everyone.
Can't wait to make fun of Russ tomorrow. There was a fist bump last night, and it was...